being reminded of good things?
Good things.
Amen. Well, that's what we're going to do. We're going to remind you of something good here tonight. Amen. I want to preach tonight on this subject. He can, and He will. And then a question, will you? He can, and He will. Will you? That's the determining factor. He can, and He will. But will you? We're going tonight to the book of Mark. I'm going to read just a couple of verses, and then we're going to preach from some well-known stories. I touched on one Sunday on Easter, Christmas morning, wasn't it? But I want to touch it again because it relates to what I want to say tonight. So if you'll just permit me a little repeat. I'm looking at the first chapter of the book of Mark. And I want to look out here at first at the 41st verse. It said, "And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth His hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will. Be thou clean." And then in the 9th chapter, there's a companion verse that shows the other side of this coin. Chapter 9, and let's look at verse number 22. "And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him." Get this. "But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." You see, the Father's question is, can you? The leper's question was, will you? Verse number 23, "And Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." So I'm here tonight, one asking the question, will you? And one asking the question, can you? But I'm here to tell you tonight that He can and He will. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. We know that there are two wings to worship. The Bible said that God requires that people worship Him in spirit and in truth. It takes two wings for worship to rise and to get off of the ground like it's supposed to. There are also two valuable facets of faith that are required tonight in order for our faith to function like God designed it to function. And those are believing that God can and that God will. That God is both able and God is also willing. And that is the question that we want to answer here tonight. First of all, I would like to entertain the thought and the fact that God can. I think the first witness I'd like to call tonight is the creation. If God can create this marvelous universe that we are a part of with nothing more than His Word, I'm convinced that He can. Amen. If He could step into the nothingness of eternity and began to speak creative words, and everything that He thought and said came to pass, I'm convinced that He can. If God could speak out in the darkness and say, "Let there be light," and light would just appear according to His thought and His plan and His creative power, I'm convinced that He can. If God could spin the planets in their orbits and maintain those planets for the thousands of years that they've been there, each one keeping its course as God commanded, I'm convinced that He can. If God could draw a line somewhere on a beach and tell the sea, you can come this far and no more, and it obeys what God said, I'm convinced that He can. If God could speak to the ball of fire we call the sun, and He could say, you'll rise every morning and you'll set every evening, and it's done that for thousands of years, just as God said, I'm convinced that He can. If God could cause the stars to twinkle steadfastly and faithfully in the sky in the midnight hour, if God can do that, I'm convinced that He can. Amen. I'm convinced that God can do anything. Amen. If everything that we see and everything that we know is simply the manifestation of God's Word. You're standing on God's Word. You walk on God's Word. You breathe God's Word. Amen. Everything you do is God's Word, because this whole world exists by the Word of God. Amen. So we can believe the Word of God. And the Word of God is another testimony that I would like to call the witness here tonight. Amen. Jesus was discussing the idea of salvation in the book of Matthew with some people. And a rich man, he offered salvation, walked away. And Jesus said, how hardly shall they that have great possessions be saved? I want you to notice the word, hardly. That means it's going to be hard for them to do it. You know, it's easier, and I'm just going to put us in the same boat here tonight. You don't have to have a whole lot of money to start getting comfortable. If your refrigerator's full, amen, and your closet's full, and your gas tank's full, and you got a little bit more money than you just absolutely need, it's easy to start getting lax. Come on now. Amen. That's the truth, Brother Grissom. You're telling me the truth tonight. Amen. It's real easy to start beginning to trust in other things than in God. Isn't it ironic that on our dollar bills we put in God we trust? What in the world is it doing on there? Hopefully it's a reminder that you better not trust in that stuff, because it's getting nowhere fast. Amen. Did you know that this Congress spent more money than the first 100, this was 111, they spent more than the first 100 Congresses all put together, and they did it in one session. And do you know what that does to the value of the dollar? It makes it almost worthless. Now I know we're going to travel on a little while, but there's going to be a payday someday, and I believe it's going to be pretty soon. Already Russia and China are bailing out and saying, we're not going to base things on the dollar anymore. After the way these people are spending like drunken sailors on holiday, we're not going to do this anymore. There's no future in that dollar. It's going down the tubes like all the rest of the currencies of the world. So if you've got any confidence in your dollar, you better get your confidence a little higher. Amen. They're worthless, so just give them to the church. Amen. They're not going to do you very much good. I'm just saying, folks, tonight, you know, we got to be careful we don't get too comfortable. And it's easy to do. It's easy to do. And one thing I've noticed is if you get bit by the bug of materialism, you don't have to have much to be miserable. The problem with materialism is when you get a little bit of it, you want more. And so you're less satisfied with what you have. When people have a little bit, I've been in countries where people have so little and that's all they're going to get and they know it and they're happy. But those same people come to this country and they get a little bit more and they get lost and caught up in it. And in a little while, they just like everybody else. They're grabbing for everything they get, and they're a lot more unhappy than they were when they were at home and didn't have hardly anything. When they were there, they could worship, and they could pray, and they could praise, and they could win souls, and they could be happy, and they were full of the joy of the Lord. But I've watched some of them come here, and they get grasping and greedy, and they start missing church. And they don't worship like they did at home. And they don't win souls like they did at home. Because they're trying to get stuff. I'm more convinced than I've ever been, amen, that stuff is the curse of our generation. Amen. Let me just say this tonight, folks. I'm not just preaching this, I'm practicing this. This is not boastful, this is fact. I'm giving more of my income as far as percentage-wise than I've ever given in my life. So I'm not telling you something tonight that I'm not backing up. I've just decided I don't need a lot of junk. I don't need a lot of stuff. Would I like to have some things? Yes. But when I look at it, I say, why? Why? Sometimes I pick something up in the store that I want, and before I get to the counter, I say, why? I've already got more stuff than I've got room for. Why? Amen. And so I decided that if I put that away, I can help somebody else. I can give more to missions because I didn't need that. Amen. I can help a ministry here in the local church. I can help the prison ministry. Amen. You know what we need real bad around here? We need a radio ministry. I think if we could get this on the outside of the walls, it'd be a good thing. Anybody agree with that? You know what it takes to do that? Just a little bit more. Amen. Just a little bit of that stuff that you put back and say, I don't need that. I want to give it to a radio ministry. Amen. Praise God. You see, I'm just saying tonight, but I don't know how I got off into this, but I just did. Amen. But whatever you determine in your mind that you want to do for God, you can. You can. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I've said this before. I'm going to say it one more time and I'm going to move on. But when I was right here in this church 35, 36 years ago, and there were times that offerings were taken and I gave, but I had so little to give, and I literally wept because I didn't have more to give. Many times, and almost always, when I'm filling my car up with gas, I thank God because there were so many times I couldn't do that. And I've had people say, why didn't you fill it up? Well, there's a good reason for that. I couldn't. Amen. But you know what? God is blessed. Amen. God is blessed. I promised the Lord then, God, if you will bless me, I promise I will give. Amen. I have kept that promise. And God has kept His promise. And He has supplied our needs and many of our wants. Amen. God has been good. Praise the Lord. So you see, if you make up your mind, you want to do something for God, there's a way. There's a way. You know, $25 is not much money. You can sell cookies to your neighbors and make $25. You could make a couple of cakes and make $25. You could mow a lawn and make $25. You see, we can do whatever it is that we choose to do. Amen. We can do what we make up our mind that we want to do for God. Amen. So, He can. And we can. Amen. Paul latched on to that, didn't he? I like it. Amen. He got to thinking about what God could do and God can, and it got contagious and it got a hold of him, and he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Hallelujah. He got to thinking, if God can and God's inside me, I can too. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Our God is able. The Bible said, for with God nothing shall be impossible. He said it's going to be hard for some rich folks to be saved. That it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. There was a gate called the needle's eye, and for a camel to get through that gate, they had to take his load off of his back. He had to get down on his knees. He had to get as low as he could to get through that thing. Amen. And he's saying that if we're going to be saved, we got to get rid of all of our load. We got to get rid of all of our care. We've got to get totally dependent on God. We've got to get down on our knees. We've got to humble ourselves in total dependence if we're going to get through the gate. Amen. And then he said, for things that are impossible with man are possible with God. So a person can be saved, but they can only be saved by God's grace. No man can save himself. Brother Holly said, a man can be his own God and he can worship himself, but he cannot save himself. We have a Savior, and we trust in Him. So God can do anything. Ephesians said, amen. And I love this verse from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 20. He said, now unto Him that is able. He's able, He can. He's able to do exceeding abundant. How abundantly can you think? He said He exceeds that. No matter how high you think, no matter how grand your scheme, no matter how marvelous your thoughts, He said He exceeds that. Amen. All that we are able to ask or even to think, our God can. He can. I understand this, man. Because I've been a little in his shoes, though not exactly. The father had a son that was possessed of a spirit that caused him to do things and lose control of himself. And ever since he was a child, he would walk past a fire and he would try to jump into it. They would have to drag him back from the flames. He probably had some scars from burns when he couldn't get to him quickly enough. And if he walked past a body of water, he would try to drown himself. They would have to pull him out. And so they were weary with vigilance, constant vigilance. Everywhere the boy went, somebody had to go with him. And you could never take your eye off of him because he would instantly, the spirits within would try to destroy him. Always vigilant. Through the night, they had to be vigilant. Through the day, they had to be vigilant. Never rest. Never take your eyes off of Him. Never leave Him alone. Year after year, wearisome. They were so tired. They had sought every kind of help. Nobody could help. They brought them to the disciples, and they couldn't help. And so finally, they brought him to Jesus. And the Father, so weary, so weary. Jesus said, "How long's this been going on?" He said, "Since he was a child." Then he explained to him about the fire and the water, his desire to destroy himself. Then the Bible says, and I want you to notice these words here. He said, "But if you can do anything, have compassion and help us." And do you see the desperation there? He said, if you can do anything. He didn't believe that he could, but he was willing to try. And then he really didn't believe he would, because he said, have compassion on us. He couldn't even sense the compassion of Jesus Christ. It was there, but he couldn't sense it. He was so distraught, he couldn't pick it up. So he really didn't believe Jesus could do anything. And he really didn't believe that he would do anything. But he was so desperate that he came anyway. Hey, that's a good thing. Amen. Even if your faith is not perfect, come on! Even if you have doubts, come on! Even if you're battling unbelief, come on! He came through the fog of his doubts and his fears, but he came out of desperation and a faint hope. Now I want you to see what Jesus said to him. Verse number 23, "And Jesus said unto him," here this is kind of interesting. I think it's almost a little play on words. He said, "If you can," and Jesus starts out with the same three words. If you can, believe. He started out with "if." Jesus started out with "if." He said, "If you can do anything," Jesus said, "if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." Hallelujah. I think he had a little twinkle in his eye when he said that. Now, he said, "Hey, bud, hey, man, you're in the right place. And all you've got to do here is stir up a little of that faith that's in there." He said, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." Now, I want you to see this next verse. You've got to get this here. And straightway, that means immediately, the father of the child cried out. I mean, he's serious, friend. Said with tears. Can you see his emotion? Can you feel his pathos and his passion? He's crying out. He said, "Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." Now, I appreciate that man's faith. That's genuine right there. That's sincerity. He hadn't heard of the fake it till you make it business. There comes a time that don't cut it. As a matter of fact, it never does. Why be fake when you can be real? Who are you trying to kid with that business anyway? You're not fooling God, and you're not fooling anybody else. I mean, this man, he was serious. He was sincere. He was crying out with everything that was in him. He just confessed it. He knew he had a problem. He knew it. He said, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. I got one wing going. I just need the other one going." Amen. Amen. You see, he was right. He didn't need a help with his faith. He had some of that. What he needed help with was the unbelief part of it. Amen. It takes two things to create doubt. You have to have faith and unbelief. If you only have unbelief, you don't have doubt. You're convinced that it's not going to happen. It's not so. That's unbelief. It's not mixed with anything. But when you mix unbelief and faith, then you have doubt. And that was the man's problem. He had doubt. He had faith and unbelief mixed together. And he said, "Okay, Lord, my faith's okay, but would you help me out with this unbelief business?" Amen. And Jesus did. You see, your faith doesn't have to be perfect to receive something from God. Did you know Jesus healed a whole lot of people that didn't believe at all? He healed a lot of people that never served Him and never followed Him. You know what I've seen in my life? And you have, if you've been around very long, I've watched God fill a whole lot of people with the Holy Ghost that never followed Him. And they got it, friend. They got it. God only has one kind of Holy Ghost. I said, God only has one kind of Holy Ghost. He does not shortchange anybody. God doesn't have one kind of Holy Ghost for one kind of person and another Holy Ghost for another kind of person. He's only got one kind of Holy Ghost. He doesn't have goodwill Holy Ghost for one person and Neiman Marcus Holy Ghost for somebody else. He's got one kind of Holy Ghost for everybody. And I have watched people come and get the genuine Holy Ghost. It was all over them. Their countenance changed. They talked in tongues. They worshiped God. And they never came back. I prayed with a young man. He got the Holy Ghost. Spoke in tongues. The joy of the Lord was all over him. He was a changed individual. Got him a job. He lasted 2 days and got caught stealing. Got fired. So I said, "Well, you can stay here in the quarters at the church, and I'll try to get you another job, try to help you out here. You know, you messed up, but God will forgive you." Man, got home that evening, drove to the church, pulled up in the parking lot, heard loud rock music blaring from the quarters, went over and opened, and he got into the food that was in the church and he had the telephone off talking, and later found out he charged $125 worth of long distance phone calls. That don't sound like Holy Ghost to me. I was not a happy camper. I said, "We can't do this." I said, "Tomorrow I will buy you a bus ticket and you will proceed home." And I went down and I bought him a bus ticket out of my pocket. And I gave it to him. And I said, "Now this afternoon when I come, he'll be gone, right?" He said, "Yes, sir." I got home that afternoon. Guess what? Rock music blaring. I hid the telephone so he couldn't get it. Another dear brother came by, found it, pulled it out, and plugged it back in. He was making more long-distance phone calls. I said, "I thought you didn't have any money. I thought you was broke." He said, "I decided that I would cash in that bus ticket and stay around a while." I said, "You will not. You will leave now." And there ain't no more bus ticket. I don't care if you hitchhike or whatever you do. But grace and mercy meets responsibility right here. Amen. There's a thing called accountability. There's a thing called responsibility. And most people, that all they want is a handout, don't understand those two words. They think you're being mean. No, I'm not being mean. I had a world of compassion. And I'm talking about a man that God gave the hope. But he took God's grace and turned it into disgrace. Isn't that a travesty? Amen. So there are some people God can save. God's willing to save. God wants to save. But we have a responsibility also. Amen. After God has saved, he wanted and he did and he tried. So this fellow, he said, help my unbelief. And God did, and he delivered his son. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I don't know if that man followed Jesus after that or not. I don't know if the son followed Jesus. I don't know which side of Calvary he was on. I don't know if he was hollering, crucify him, or he was on the side that was weeping and wailing. I don't know. I just know that God can. God did. Amen. He can. Don't you doubt for a moment, whatever you're facing, don't doubt that God can. He is able. He is able. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. Nothing too hard for the Lord. Absolutely nothing is too hard for the Lord. And then this leper certainly tells us that he will. Amen. We have described in the past the plight of the leper. The fact that when he had leprosy, it's called Hansen's disease today, and the kind that this man did have, obviously, because he was completely isolated and cast out. There were laws, written laws. Now, they were not God's laws. These were men's laws. God had a provision for people that were healed from leprosy. Although, in the Old Testament, we don't have any record of any Jew ever being healed of leprosy after the law of Moses was given. Now, I know Miriam was cured, but that was before the law was given. I know that Naaman was cured, but that he was a Gentile, not a Jew. And I'm not saying that there were none. I'm just saying we don't have any record of any. But they did make some laws. Men made some laws. And this is what they said. They said, when you see people coming, when they're yet a great distance off, and they had a specific distance, they said, you start crying out and telling them and warning them, saying, unclean, unclean. I'm a leper. I'm unclean. You let them know. And by the time of Christ, it was not unusual for some people to pick up rocks and throw at them and treat them as if they were some kind of a horrible beast. I don't know how long this man had had leprosy. I don't know how long he'd been in that condition. But I do know that he was... He couldn't hold a job, and he couldn't be in his house with his family. And if he got to go to synagogue, he had to sit in a special place away from the building that was prepared for lepers. He didn't have any association with anybody else that was not like him. And so, when this man, I don't know where he got his faith. I don't know where he got the hope. And I don't know where he got the courage. But he cast all of that aside. There's just something about Jesus. There's just something about Jesus. He had a yes face. I want what Jesus had. You know, some of us, almost it's like we have a repellent. Instead of an attraction. We repel sinners instead of attract sinners. Amen. And I've actually prayed this. Lord, help me to be winsome. help me to have that compassion and that whatever it is that attracts people to you and draws people to you. That's what I need. That's what I want in my life. And you know what I think it is? I think it's the Holy Ghost. Because the Bible said that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And I think that repellent thing is when I get so full of myself that people can't see Holy Ghost. Shake your head like this right here. That sounds about right, Brother Grissom. When I get so full of my stinking attitude that people can't see Holy Ghost and people can't feel the love of God. Amen. But Jesus was the love of God. And so this leper was attracted to Him. And the Bible says, let me just read these words to you again from the first chapter of the book of Mark. It says, first of all, it said, He came to Jesus. He didn't run. He didn't warn. He didn't stay away. But He came to Him. As if He were drawn by a magnet. He came to Him. And then the Bible said He was beseeching, imploring, praying, begging, if it were. And then the Bible said He was kneeling. He came. He fell down on His knees. He's already crying out before He ever kneels. And He's asking the Lord. Now listen to what He said. I admire this man. I'm amazed at this man. He said, if you will, He said, you can. You see, this man, a little different than the father. The father didn't know if he would or if he could. But this man knew that he could. He had no problem believing that Jesus Christ could heal a leper, though nobody else could do it. But he had absolutely no doubt whatsoever that Jesus could heal him. That's what he said. It's amazing to me that he had that much faith. But he did. He said, if you will, thou canst make me clean. No doubt. Wow. His only hang up was he did not know if Jesus was willing to do it. Anytime God encounters that kind of faith, He cannot resist it. It drew Him like a moth to a light. He could not resist this faith thing. This man was saying, you can do it. Although probably it had not, if it had ever been done, it had been perhaps hundreds of years since a leper had actually been healed. We have no record of it, ever. And so there was a provision under the law, but I don't know if they ever did it. So here's this man, and he said, you can do it, Jesus, if you will. It says almost as if Jesus, you see, he can't resist that. Look at it. The Bible said in verse number 41, and Jesus moved with compassion. Huh? Oh, to hear that. He was moved with compassion. And he reached out, he just put forth his hand and he laid it on him, touched him. Amen. Before he even said anything, he just reached out and touched him. Amen. That kind of touch that says so much. Yeah, they communicated, I care about you. I love you. Amen. And so he reached out and he lays his hand on the man. And the Bible said, then he said, I will. I will. Be thou clean. And now, don't you love this next verse? And it says, and as soon as he had spoken, immediately. See, that's the key word in the book of Mark. That's why I think Peter wrote it. Because everything's immediate. Mr. Snappy himself. Mr. Impetuous. Amen. But he said, as soon as he said it, immediately, it says the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. Isn't that amazing? I'm telling you tonight, he will. He will. He will. He can. And he will. Amen. His mind's already made up. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. And I could preach about another while about that, but I'm going to stop right there because I know my time's almost gone. Amen. So he believed the man could. He said, if you just will, Jesus, you can. And Jesus, how could he not? When he encountered that kind of faith. Amen. Now, here's the thing tonight, folks. When you want to receive and need to receive something from God, you need to believe that he can and that he will. And if you can just muster those two things, and you have every advantage tonight, because this house is full of witnesses that have received. Hallelujah. Anybody here receive? Anybody here believe he can? Just unqualified. He can. Whatever it is, he can. Anybody believe he will? See, we're convinced of that. The Bible said we have this great cloud of witnesses. We're encompassed by this great cloud of witnesses. And they're there. Abraham's there. Abraham said, he can, hallelujah, and he will. Moses is saying, he can and he will. David's saying, he can and he will. I can hear Elijah, he can and he will. Amen. They're everywhere. Amen. My sweet little mama saying he can and he will. Hallelujah. Great cloud of witnesses all around us tonight saying he can and he will. Preachers from ages past crying out, he can and he will. Peter and Paul and James and John echoing through the centuries, he can and he will. Hey, we got faith all over this place. He can and he will. Amen. If you have any, you're struggling today with the fact that he can, just look around you at this great creation he made. That ought to tell you he can. And if you're struggling tonight to wonder if he will, go no further than Calvary. Watch him suspended between heaven and earth. His arms extended on a cross. His blood dripping down to the thirsty ground. The sun pulling a veil across its face, as it were. And the moon blushing with blood and saying, we can't stand. The earth began to shake and tremble. Amen. Calvary saying, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. He can. And he will. The question is, will you? Amen. You see, it demands a response, doesn't it? There's no sin too great. And there's no sinner too lost. There's no man that's gone too far. I've heard people say, I'm so far from God. Oh, no, you're not. You're just a prayer away. You're just a prayer away. That's as far as you can ever get from God. It's just a prayer away. Amen. Let's stand together. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, he can. And he will. And you can come to him. Will you? You can. Will you? You could serve him tonight. Will you? You can receive the Holy Ghost. Will you? You could receive healing tonight. Will you? You could receive deliverance tonight. Will you? He can. And He will. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I think it would be good if we'd just show Him we're willing tonight. I think it'd be good if we'd just leave the pew, come down to this altar. You don't have to kneel unless you want to. Amen. You can stand. You can kneel. You can lay down flat, prostrate, whatever you want to do tonight. But just come and just lift your hands to the Lord and your faith to the Lord. Just tell Him, God, I believe You can. I believe You will. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord asked Abraham, is anything too hard for the Lord? Abraham, you're 100 years old. Your wife's 90 years old. I promised you a child. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Anything? Anything? Moses, you're a long way from Brookshire's and Walmart. You got 3 million people in the wilderness. They need food. They need water. Is anything too hard for the Lord? It's a long way to the hospital. Is anything too hard for the Lord? You're without weapons, amen. And the enemy's closing in. And the Red Sea's before you. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Amen.
You can touch Him.
Hallelujah. He can. He can.
Oh, You can.
Joshua was trying hard to fulfill the will of God. It was running out of daylight. The sun was setting, sinking in the sky. He needed a little more time. So He pointed to the sky and to the sun and He said, Sun, stand still. And God said, I can do that. And the sun hung still in the sky. Nothing's too hard for the Lord. He can. And He will. He can. And He will. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Your faith.
I love You, Jesus. I love You, Jesus. I love You, Jesus. I love You, Jesus. That's right. Just begin to call out to Him. Amen.